You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Well, now. I'll probably take a kicking for doing this, but that's why I'm doing it, because we speak to people of interest, and I don't think you could get any more interest than these two people sitting opposite me for probably the wrong reasons, but it doesn't matter. Everyone has a story, and we'd like to know what it is, unpalatable as it may be to some, but in front of me is Thomas Sewell and Blair Cottrell, and they seem to be the face, for want of a better word, Nazism in Australia, or the face of white supremacy. And they've been in court in Adelaide on Australia Day, and I thought, this is extraordinary. They look like two presentable people to me, and they might think I'm not too presentable. But I'd like to know what's going on in the back of their mind, in the front of their mind, and what they do this for, and who they are, and how they started. Can I ask you this first, Thomas? You'll love this question. Are you a devotee or a fan of Hitler's?
I believe that Adolf Hitler was the greatest man of the 20th century.
And why?
I believe that...
because he tried to wipe out the Jews...
Well, we can get into that.
No, we can, but...
I'll answer the question first, and then we can discuss the Holocaust specifically.
At this,
but I would like to answer the question without the Holocaust being on the table to start with. So, because I believe that the Holocaust is disputed. I don't believe that it's true. I think it's a trillion-dollar industry that's been running for too long.
At
so
this,
that's to start with. But to answer the question
at
about...
At this stage, Thomas, sorry.
Yeah.
I probably... should stop this interview. We probably should finish this now.
Why?
No. People will say, well, if that is your attitude and that is your that person you look up to, we probably shouldn't go on with this, but this makes me go on with it even more. So
I think we need to have an honest conversation about World War II. I think we need to have an honest conversation about Adolf Hitler. And if I'm wrong, then I think the media should be honest and prove where what I've said is incorrect. My appreciation of Adolf Hitler is quite simple. I believe that Germany was destroyed in the 1920s, and I believe that it took a great man to revitalize the German national spirit. I think Australia is facing the same, and the Western world, the whole white Western world, is facing the same set of circumstances as Weimar Germany was facing in the 1920s. And we're facing that in the 2020s. And I think what we need is a revival in our national spirit. So it's not necessarily Hitler as an individual that I think we need to revive, but I think he had a very clear political strategy, a very clear spiritual meaning to the German people. And I think that if Australia has a love of its own folk, we can survive, and not just survive, but we can thrive. We can rebuild the Australian dream and create greatness here in this land.
So I've been to Dachau. What would you say to people who say that Hitler... himself, through his acolytes, burnt and incinerated millions of Jews in the name of ethnic cleansing, if you like?
Well,
you're disputing that.
I dispute it because the history, the proven history that we have, not Jewish Hollywood and mythology, is that the
people have seen.
You might have seen piles of shoes, and if you went to any prison
seen
camp,
piles of bodies, people being shot in pits from the.
Absolutely. I don't believe in the 6 million number. Certainly there were people that were killed, and there was a Einsatzgruppen, there was a anti-partisan task force in the SS that was devised to hunt down and kill people that were committing war crimes against the German army. So they were dressed as civilians. Regarding gas chambers, I think that history will prove that that is a falsity created by a narrative. Regarding the burning of bodies... there wasn't enough crematorium ovens to burn 6 million bodies. And they've actually revised the original Auschwitz number from 4.5 down to 1.5 down to 1.1. And now they're saying that maybe they can prove 250,000 died here. But the math still doesn't add up. So I don't really want to come on the show to talk about the Holocaust.
No,
I don't really want to talk about Hitler. But what I want to talk about is Australia. That's why I came on. It's impossible to avoid the conversation of Hitler because we are nationalists and we're national socialists.
So you're anti-Semitic?
I'm counter-Semitic. Yeah, absolutely.
You're anti the Jews?
I think the individual Jew, I don't have much of a concern for them. But anti-Semitism for me is I believe that there is an alien spirituality, an alien political position that is antithetical to our survival as Western civilization. I don't believe that Western civilization was built alongside Jews. I think Jews have been, from the very beginning, antagonistic. I think they opened the gates of Toledo, they opened the gates of Constantinople, they opened the gates of Vienna, and they allowed Muslim hordes into Europe.
Plenty of people are antagonistic, but that doesn't mean that's taking it to a whole new level about... the world is full of antagonistic people and countries.
So they just found
a caravan in New South Wales loaded with explosives with a view...
I don't advocate for terrorism, if that's what you're asking me. I don't advocate for terrorism. What I want is a free and noble people. I want our country to be free and noble and white.
But you wanted... Yes, so you want...
That caravan you mentioned, though, that was discovered, that was a little bit suspicious, wasn't it? That a caravan full of explosives was discovered with the addresses of the targets written down on a piece of paper inside. It was all very convenient.
So what are you saying about the caravan full of explosives?
I'm saying that there's a lot of kicking and screaming in the Jewish community, and they seem to be getting a lot of money, a special task force, and they are the primary beneficiaries of these threats, if you pay attention.
Now, you're not saying the Jewish fraternity loaded the caravan up for...
I'm not saying that. I don't have any proof of that. But what I'm saying is when something like this happens, you have to ask yourself, well, who stands to benefit?
Who benefits?
Yeah, who benefits? So that's,
A good answer to your question as well is a lot of these anti-Semitic attacks have been proven, and the AFP came out recently and stated that foreign agents are paying organized criminals to pay junkies to commit these anti-Semitic attacks. No one in my organization and no one in my extended community has spray-painted synagogues or done anything silly like that, because we don't want to go down that path. That's not what we're interested in. But in the absence of us doing it, it's either the Palestinians doing it, the Arabs and Palestinians, or it is what foreign government is paying organized crime to attack synagogues, and why? Why are they paying people with... And this is a fact. This isn't my speculation. The AFP came out recently and said foreign governments are paying organized criminals to subcontract out anti-Semitic attacks. So what does this have to do with me and my historical analysis of Western civilization?
So you gave a Nazi salute, did you not?
Many times, yes.
Yeah, many times.
Many times I've given the Roman salute or the Nazi salute.
The Nazi salute, which is actually... banned and considered not hate speech because it's not a speech, but
it's a political gesture. It is a form of speech.
Has been banned by West.
It's being contested, but yes, it is currently illegal.
No, it has
illegal.
Been banned. It's illegal. Yes. Yes. But you do it anyhow because you're by nature being anti-social.
We haven't done it since it's been made illegal. That's Jacob Hursant. He did it. He's the only person to be arrested for doing
it.
So
you didn't do it in the courthouse coming out of the Adelaide...
Oh, no. Footage that you're seeing is from about 2 or 3 years ago.
I see. So since they made it illegal, you've stopped doing the Nazi salute.
I'm waiting to hear what the High Court decision is with Jacob Hursant's case. So that judgment will decide whether we do it in the future. So
there's quite a few people who have been charged with doing it since that ban came into place, including our former Navy star, Damian Richardson, who gave the gesture satirically during a private venue speech. So the law does need to be tested there, because when you're going to be charging people for raising their arm a certain distance above their hip, that's a little bit...
Extreme. Elon Musk was accused of doing it, but of course... And there's a difference, I think, whether it be palatable or not. In comedy, black humour, if you can do certain things if you are working comedically in front of an audience.
Of course.
But I don't think Musk did it for comedy. I think he did it as a political expression of his excitement for winning.
Thomas, Musk didn't do it. It had nothing to do with the Nazis.
Well, how do you know? Have you spoken to him?
No, I haven't spoken to him, but people have asked him, why wouldn't he say, yes, I was giving the Nazi salute?
We're arguing semantics. Like, is it the Roman salute or is it the Nazi salute? Because he definitely gave a Roman salute. His gesture was Roman in nature. And he is appreciator of Roman history. He stated he likes Roman history.
He's a sympathiser of the Jewish Holocaust or the Jewish
plight. I saw him be browbeaten by Netanyahu and taken to the museums, yes. I did see that. I don't know if he...
So what happens when someone hails a taxi and they throw out their hand in the absolute epitome of a Nazi salute.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. That's
why it comes down to this is a thought crime, because the gesture itself isn't what's being made illegal. It's the thoughts behind the gesture.
But you do it. You both.
It's not actually my style. I'm more of it.
All right. But so you give a Nazi salute in order to mean exactly what it meant, that you are a sympathizer of Hitler's and his regime and what he was on about, and you would like that. So Donald Trump was being accused by the Democrats during the 4 years of electioneering of being Hitler and being likened to Hitler. Do you take offence at that? Do you think Donald Trump's what the Democrats said he was, a devotee of Hitler's?
No, Donald Trump is a liberal. He believes in
but
liberal
he wants
democracy.
Nationalism. He wants America first.
He wants,
like you want Australia.
He wants parts of nationalism as a liberal, the way that we want parts of democracy and liberty as a nationalist.
Yes,
so
but
we all want parts of each other's ideas. It's not like, I don't believe in this political theory that everything is set 100% in stone. You can't borrow ideas or thoughts from other groups.
So someone like Donald Trump or someone on a level mental footing, not saying you're not on a level mental footing, but people, you want this to be, you don't want any coloured people of any skin colour other than white people to live in this country.
That's a big generalisation.
Well, I'm asking you.
We've jumped into the deep end with this conversation. I didn't know we were going to start off with Hitler and the Holocaust.
Let's pretend we've...
I want a home for white people. That's
hang on a minute. Let's pretend we've just started this conversation. Sure. Welcome, boys. Welcome. What question would you like me to ask you first up?
Well, I thought we might start the conversation, you know...
With Australia Day,
the controversy that led us here in the first place, and the fact that we're Australians, we're not Germans, and we're representing an Australian brand of nationalism.
Unfortunately, you can't see my notes. I'm just getting to all that. But I thought it would be good if people are watching this and listening to this, would be nice to know that if you are a devotee or an admirer of Hitler's, why? Because usually engenders a fair amount of angst amongst... You're explaining why it doesn't.
Yeah, and
I'm saying generally if you say you're a friend or admirer of Hitler's... that doesn't go over well.
What else do you know about Hitler?
Well, hang on, let's answer a general question with a general answer.
Right,
okay. Hitler's a very significant figure in history.
He is.
And the guy made a lot of right decisions. He did a lot of good for Germany at the time. No one can dispute that. But he didn't do everything right. If he did, he would have won the war. There's lessons to be learned from Hitler. And I think some of those lessons we can incorporate into an Australian brand of nationalism for the good of our country. Right, and I think that's the general standpoint that we would take.
So is this where I should have started the interview?
Let's just keep moving.
Hey?
Let's keep the ball going.
Is this a live interview or is this recorded? I'm not really sure what we're doing here.
No, this is pre-recorded. Okay. And it'll be... does that matter?
Not really. I usually prefer it to be live because, you know, it can be...
Can I tell you...
He gives us his word.
And look, let me say this too. I think you would agree with us on most things. It's just that perspective of World War II.
Blair, we wouldn't agree. Telling you this now, we've never edited anything.
I'm not accusing you of that.
No, but you said you'd like
some
to do it live.
Some journalists do.
I'm not some journalist and I'm not a journalist. We've never edited anything in this other than someone saying, I'm not sure you should say that for libel or slander purposes, so we don't want to get sued.
Sure, fair.
We've taken... two or three things out of one or two interviews we've done over 5 years. This is absolutely as we speak. So I'm just telling you that now. And I don't know. If you were recording this on your phone, you can play it back. And when it goes to air, you can see that. So I'm just telling you that.
Look, you're giving us a fair go and I appreciate it. As I said before the show, I grew up in 89, so I watched you on TV as a kid. Me and my dad thought you were... good value. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, good on you. Why are you so preoccupied with this about having? We had a white Australia policy here back in the 40s, and
all the way up until the 70s. Yeah,
what
until the 70s? Yeah,
I think Harold Holt in 1966 or 1970 decided that. Anyhow, we had a White Australia policy. You would like that to be reinstated?
Well,
would
do you feel that Australia was better back then than it is now?
In what way?
Nicer place to live, more manageable infrastructure, more manageable population. I could imagine in the 60s, not that I was alive back then, Australia probably was a nice place to live, and it's probably a lot different now as a result of the people who are coming into this country a lot of the time to exploit Australia.
Yep. Now, so having said that, that is just a pointless... It is really a pointless question to say, did I prefer to live in the 60s? Because I did.
Well, you're saying by default you preferred to live in a white Australia. Because in the 60s, Australia was predominantly white.
I didn't say I preferred. I said it was...
But what's the defining factor that separates the 60s from now?
The fact that we have a cosmopolitan country of people pouring into it, and hopefully they're vetted, bit like what Trump's on about in America, is that we vet the right people coming in, and hopefully they contribute. You couldn't say that Australia... Would you say Australia is not the better for the multicultural society we live in?
My main contention is that it is not better, that it is worse.
And what would you like to do about it?
I'd like to do a lot of things about it.
No, but it's here now. There's 25 million of us here, and they're from every country in the world.
A lot of people need to go
home. Would you like to deport them?
Yes.
A lot of people need to go home. There's people that are in our country illegally. Just recently, actually, it was brought to light that there are some fake scam universities through which Indians are coming into our country. They're signing up on these fake universities, which are actually just websites.
Yep.
And they're here illegally on fake student visas. And that's just what we know of. Yeah. There's a lot of scams beneath that that we haven't even figured out yet. So
that's not necessarily hoping that we'll just have a white country. That's hoping that we'll send back people who are here illegally no matter what skin colour they are.
That's how you start.
I think that's the starting point that we can all agree on, is that people that have entered the country illegally should be deported. And we have to have the strength to do that. We have to have the strength to enforce laws. And if we don't have the strength to enforce laws, then... A home for everyone is a home for no one.
So
we want, like, what my most important contention is, and my biggest argument for what we want as a future is a home, individually and collectively. White, if you let me finish, Sam, because I can see you're trying to interject. What
I haven't
as a young white person, I know, but I'd appreciate it if I just get 30 seconds. White people deserve a home. There's 1.4 billion Chinamen, there's 1.4 billion Indians, there's a billion Africans, there's a billion Arabs, and they've all got their own countries. Now, if there was a white country on Earth, I don't want to leave Australia, but if you said to me, Tom, why don't you go live in Poland or Lithuania or Latvia or whatever, I would say, look, it's tempting, but I love Australia. It is tempting because I don't like what's happening to this country. I think white people deserve a home collectively. They have a home. We don't have one. We're being told that Australia is for everyone, and if it's for everyone, then it's for no one. That's my position. And second to that, collectively, is individually. I individually cannot afford a home. My father bought a home on 3 years' wages. I could not even buy a 200 square meter block of dirt in Tarneit for 3 years' wages. So because of the conditions the government has put our generation through, I and the people younger than me are getting locked out of the market, and when we do afford a home, like where I rent... where I can't even afford where I rent, I take my child to the playground, Sam, and every single other child at the playground is speaking a foreign language to their parents. My child is the only child at the playground that's speaking English. And I'm surrounded by people that are being told, oh, this is a great multicultural diversity, and it just means less white people, less white culture, and ultimately, we're going to turn into global South Africa. And I will fight to stop that from happening, Sam. I don't want us to turn into South Africa. I had family in Rhodesia. I had family in South Africa. I'm not letting it happen here. And so I'm trying with all my might to be peaceful and reasonable and political. But we have to protect white Australia. We have to.
Was there ever a point in the past where there was some democratic process, like maybe a referendum on multiculturalism? Were the people ever asked? I'm asking you. You've been around a bit longer than me.
Don't ask me anything, mate. You speak for as long as you like. You
I don't believe
and when you're finished, I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I'm finished.
Yeah, sure.
You're finished. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's important again to ask yourself who are the beneficiaries of multiculturalism and mass migration. Between 2024, I think, and 2025 this year, or maybe it was 23 and 24, 1.1 million migrants arrived in Australia in a single year. Okay, that's record numbers never seen before in the history of Australia, predominantly from India and China. And predominantly, the reason this happens is to enrich the financial sector. You've got big property developers like Harry Trigubov, who's building tens of thousands of homes out in the swamplands, cookie-cutter homes that standard Australians wouldn't want to live in, right? And he's making bank from this immigration. And guess what? He also lobbies the major political parties. So you can understand why it's in the interests of certain people to be bringing more migrants into Australia. So it's not the Australians winning from this. We're not benefiting. It's not the average person getting more money in their pocket. People younger than me, they can't afford to buy a house. And so why? Why? I'll leave you this way. Why should Australians have to compete with everybody else in the world for a house in Australia?
Well, we've set a record. I haven't spoken for 3 minutes, and that doesn't usually happen. But
we can become somewhat impassioned.
The floor is yours.
We get somewhat impassioned about
please. Blair, please keep going.
I'll ask you next question, my friend. It's yours now.
Is the country not richer for all the European migration that's come here over the years, the 25 million of us that are here?
I believe it is richer for the European migration.
The Italians and the...
I believe it's richer for the European migration.
Is it?
Yes, I believe so.
As long as they're white?
European, yes. White, European.
White?
European.
So
I wouldn't want Australia to turn into Little Italy, but 5%, 10% Italian and Greek...
As long as they're white?
They're Europeans, yes.
Yeah.
Greeks and Italians are Europeans.
So you said that we should send back all those people who are here illegally, illegal aliens, if you like. So if there were some Americans and British and Canadians that were here, we'd send them home as well as all the Indians that are here illegally as well.
Look, we need to be focused on cultural similarity, right? And when we share certain cultural similarities with other people, then obviously integration and coexistence is much more probable. I mean, you only need to look at the situation in Queensland with Vylene White, who was stabbed to death by an African refugee in a car park. And this is not an isolated incident. This is happening all over the country.
Yes.
Carjackings, home invasions. What's
same
the difference?
In America.
And hey, look, I wish race was
plenty of white people stab people as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's true. But the statistics prove that it's very disproportionate, right? Like, I wish race was just skin colour. I wish that was the truth. But the fact is, there's a lot more going on with race than just the colour of skin. It's the way of thinking and behaving. It's the IQ. It's the capacity for creativity and understanding. There's a lot going on there that we need to explore. This hyper-simplified, generalized idea that race is just skin color, okay? If we're going to survive as a country, as a people, we need to move beyond that.
Should we start to move the previous inhabitants of the country out? Should we start to move the Aboriginals out, or what should we do with them?
Look, I'll answer the question regarding the Aboriginals. I think that they have two options. They have two options.
The people who were here before us.
The people we conquered this country off, yes.
Yeah,
we conquered this land off them. Yeah, by force. We took it by force. And I'm not ashamed of that. I think there's a lot of people that are ashamed of that. But I think all countries that are in existence are created through force. Every single one. I don't think that there's one nation that is free from the guilt of conquering a lesser people. Well,
what were we supposed to do when we arrived? Oh, there's already some semi-nomadic tribes here eating each other. We better go home.
No.
I believe we conquered this country.
I'm on the record as saying that. I'm saying this country is here because of settlement.
Yeah.
In 1788 or something. I'm saying that. And there was 150,000 Aboriginal people on 7.7 million square acres of country. So we've hardly taken over their country, but they were the previous inhabitant. We've hardly taken it over in as much as this country is what it is today because of settlement.
Yes.
So my question
but
that's just a fact.
Yes.
Isn't it?
So yes.
So what are you saying you do with the people that were here before us who aren't the same skin colour as the people that you prefer?
My initial thought is that they should be left alone. We should stop giving them money. We should let them have their own little societies and let them govern themselves. I'm sick of playing babysitter.
How would that work? How can they govern themselves? Well, what does that mean?
What, are they not human? Are they not capable of self-governing?
Well, we'll govern themselves where? In what cities?
They shouldn't be in the cities. They didn't build them.
I don't think Aboriginal people are our responsibility. I think they're their own responsibility.
Yeah, we should. They should have. This is a conversation that the government.
Well, if you.
This is the conversation a responsible white government that represents white people should have with a responsible body of the Aboriginals that represent Aboriginal people. And then we can sit down at the table, white Australians representing white Australians with Aboriginals representing Aboriginals, and we can have an honest conversation about how we're going to make it work.
So if you say we took over the country from them, why don't we help them assimilate, seeing as we took the country off them?
We've done that
if
for
that's
two,
what you
I
say.
I think we've done that for 200 years.
Effort has been made in that regard.
I think we've done it for 200 years and it hasn't worked. I don't think it's the solution to the problem. I think that all people should have their own uniqueness. And if we are the true appreciators of diversity, as we say we are, I don't think we should mix everyone into one caramel people. I don't think that that's a good policy to have. I think the Aboriginals, let them preserve their culture and their identity somewhere. All right? That conversation is on the table for later on. It's not a conversation I can answer right now because I don't have control of the State Department.
So these groups like yours, let me tell you what your group is, the National Socialist Network.
Blair's not a member.
I'm just an individual and I do my own media and influence and that's where I'm most useful. But Tom is the leader of the National Socialist Network, yeah. We're all colleagues, Tom and I. We came out of the United Patriots.
So if I wanted to become, what criteria would I have to fulfil to become a member of the National Socialist Network? Do I have to?
You have to be white. So you have to be.
I'm through to the semis without dropping a set, right? What's the next thing?
So you have to be of European descent.
Have to like Hitler?
No, you don't have to like Hitler, but.
What do I have to do?
Well.
Do I have to pay money?
We ask for members over the age of 18 to pay $50 a month. I think that's a fair fee to help run all of our training, our physical training.
Training?
Yeah, we do physical training. So we're like part of what we do is a gym club.
Physical training?
Yes, yes. We do exercise in the park. Yes.
I see. So if I wanted to become a member of the National Socialist Organization,
yes.
I've got to be white.
And you have to be of honour. You have to be of honour.
What?
So of honour. Of honour.
What does that mean?
So you can't be a homosexual.
I see.
Yeah. So we don't accept people that don't want to live in a healthy, homogenous white society. We don't believe that homosexuals or people with sort of deviant sexual ideologies have a place in our organization.
Homosexual, like men.
Men that have sex with other men. We don't want anything to do with them.
It's probably got something to do with the point of the community, which is to procreate and continue. You know, the existence
we don't believe they can be members of the community.
Well, I'm not a homosexual.
Well, then you can join, can't you? Obviously, you've got contentions about Hitler.
What?
We have probably 25% of people interested in our community are not sure about the Hitler question. They go, I support 99% of what you guys are about, but what's with Hitler? Why do you guys like Hitler?
Yes.
And so we have this conversation like we're having right now in good faith, and we explain what Hitler means to us. And people can be neutral about that, or they can be like, wow, I didn't realize Hitler was so good. Or they can say, actually, I think that's nonsense. I'm going to believe what the TV says about Hitler and what the Jews that run the education system say about Hitler. And I'm not interested in joining you guys. And that's the conversation I have every day.
So we have Goering and Himmler. Acolytes that went around the SS, the black shirts.
You don't have to know that much about all that. But you don't have to have an infinite, in-depth knowledge of World War II history to join our community. But as I said at the start of the podcast, what Hitler represents to us is not a man, but it's an idea that we can have a triumph of our national spirit, that we don't have to bend the knee to China or bend the knee to globalism or the UN or the woke culture. That we can have a triumph of the Australian will, a triumph of our own folkish spirit. And that's what Hitler tried to put forward. And the other thing that he put forward was he said that German people do not love each other enough, that we've got this fascination with all things foreign, and we don't have a strong enough love for our own kind. And what we want here in Australia is, okay, butter chicken is kind of nice and Chinese food can be nice, but what we need is a love for our
buttered
own culture.
Buttered chicken can be nice.
Sure.
Chinese food can be nice, yeah.
But we need a love for our own folk. That's what we need.
For our bangers and mash.
Because if we don't, it's beyond food. It's beyond food. There needs to be a depth of patriotism and a depth of nationalism that we have respect. Young people, and you know this as a fact, Sam, young people are being raised in the schools and there's not a national flag in the kindergarten. I have family that work in kindergartens and primary schools.
I'm on about that, mate.
Have an Aussie flag in their school.
I'm on about
they have
that
a transsexual
too.
Flag. And personally, I would rather be speaking German than have a transsexual flag in our schools.
Let's remember why we're here, Sue.
I think the reason
that the boys came to your attention in the first place is because they were arrested in Adelaide for marching down the street with Australian flags on Australia Day.
I like that. Not so much that. It was the association of the Nazi salute, which is absolutely struck out from every Western society for whatever reason.
It's struck out from Germany, Poland,
America.
It's legal in America.
Did you not hear about the arrest of the 17 gentlemen in Adelaide for celebrating Australia Day?
What's that, Blair? Yes, I heard them, yeah, because they were associated with a Nazi organisation.
But what
were they doing on the day? They were marching down the street, singing Waltzing Matilda, carrying Australian flags with the purpose of celebrating Australia Day. They were arrested for loitering and possessing a disguise, which ended up being hats and sunglasses. There was no swastikas. No. There was no Nazi symbols.
Weren't they covered up?
No, there was no swastika. This is a complete fabrication by the media.
They were targeted because of what they believed, not because of what they were doing.
I see.
That's an interesting legal precedent for us to have experienced. Don't you agree?
The State Department...
People listening to this will say you're gradually winning me over, but you're not. But I'm happy, I'm interested in the conversation. I've lost my train of thought when you said they were... What's the membership? No, I'm talking about being a member of the National Socialists. I'm not gay and I'm white. What else? What's our membership? If I pay me $50, do you require me to do?
We have layers of membership. So in terms of our activists, we've got about 250 activists in the country. So an activist are men that are prepared to march in the street with us, that are prepared to train with us.
But march in the street to say we want a white society?
Correct. So we have 250 men.
But that is completely pointless to do that because it's not going to happen, is it?
It will happen. Because if it doesn't happen...
You're going to clear out the percentage of people who aren't white in this country. You're going to send them home might gas them.
No, I have no intention of gassing anyone. That's clickbait.
We need to be sensible.
That's you being cheeky, Sam.
Being cheeky. How else do you get rid of people? Put them on a container ships and send them
home? You just put them on a plane and send them home. Every country's done it.
But there's a process there, and I think fundamentally...
America's doing it right now.
They are.
Why can't we do it in Australia? Germany's doing it right now. Austria's doing it right now. Sweden's doing it right now. They're all warming up. They're all warming up the planes.
Mass deportations is a popular talking point.
And it's inevitable.
No, it is. Blair.
Sam, I'll explain.
I'm a great fan of Trump's, what he's doing.
Yes.
Because of the... I am... But
because he's doing it from a populist perspective, not from a racial identity.
But he's not trying to make America white.
I think his maybe not in policy, but everyone knows deep down that he's not deporting millions of white people. So even though he's not explicitly
people aren't pouring across the Mexican border.
Wrong? What's wrong with Australia being white? What's wrong with that?
Because it's the you know exactly what the popular opinion that is because it's just racist.
Why is that racist for us to have our own living space?
Because racism is absolutely about racism is if you decry, degrade, or demean.
But I didn't insinuate that. I said, why can't Australia just be white? That's not about decrying or demeaning anybody
because
else.
Because there's probably...
Do we call Chinese people racist because they want China to be Chinese?
No, hang on.
Why is there this double standard there? All I'm saying here, Sam, is that we need to have our own team.
So if
this thing we call life... Listen, this thing we call life and politics, right? It's a team sport. And unless we're playing as a team... We're not going to do any good with the competition, especially when everybody else is playing as their team.
There's not 200 million whites in China.
Let me finish. You got Indians, they're playing for their team coming to Australia.
You stopped him speaking. You stopped me speaking before, now you're stopping him.
Because I'm just trying to make my point. I haven't said a lot since I've been on here. So the Chinese come into Australia, they're playing for their team. The Indians come into Australia, they're playing for their team. They're living with their own, they're working with their own. Not only do we not have our own team, we're expected to play for everybody else's team. How long can we continue to do that and still exist as a people? I don't want to exterminate everybody else. Then there's no competition, there's no game at all. That's like, just because you barrack for Carlton or Geelong, you don't want to exterminate every other team in the AFL. You just want to play as your team.
You want to exterminate and do as well as you can. People, in inverted commas, exterminate, not put them in ovens. You want to exterminate everyone who's not white from this country.
No, that's not
yes,
true.
Yes, you did say that.
There needs to be a lot of people going home, because a lot of people are here illegally and they shouldn't be
yes,
here. A lot of people are taking advantage of our country and the financial
as they do
being,
everywhere.
They're making bank from mass immigration.
As they do everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people illegally in a lot of countries, and ideally speaking, they should be sent home, and you should get in the queue and do it properly,
yeah,
legally.
Bloody oath. Yeah, bloody oath. It's
yeah,
a good
but
start.
I don't want there to be a legal queue from China, because they've got their own homeland. There's 1.4 billion of them. They've got their own homeland. They've got their own home. They've got their own government that advocates for them.
So you only want Canadians and the British and Americans to get in the queue to come here legally.
I think that Europe and Western civilization, we're all brothers, we're all cousins, we're of the folk, we're a nation, we're related to each other. I have infinitely more in common with a white Canadian or a white British or a white Icelandic person, infinitely more in common than with a Chinese person.
Aryans.
White, yeah, Europeans, Aryans, whatever you want to describe us, than a Chinese person with an Australian accent.
So
I have infinitely more in common with a white person on the other side of the earth than a Chinaman with an Australian accent.
No, fair enough.
And they can pretend to be us, and we can pretend multiculturalism is working, but it's not. I want a home for my children.
So, Thomas.
Yes.
And Blair. There's 25 million people in Australia. Yes. I presume, I'm just guessing this, I reckon half of them aren't white.
I think we're at 60%, yeah.
60% are white?
60% are white, yeah.
So you would ideally like gradually to start the 40% getting them out of the country.
Yes.
And get us down to about a 12, 13
the
million.
We would probably be, about 15 million, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think
15 million would be happy, whites. Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a good starting point to then rebuild Australia.
That's what the people who founded our nation, that was their vision.
Yes, and that's
country.
What they did. Australia
one of the first
was founded
of legislation
on
was the Immigration Restriction Act. And Alfred Deakin, one of the first prime ministers of the Federated Australia, said that he wanted to remove all coloured peoples in our midst.
Yeah. Australia was built on racism. We're not foreign. We're actually holding on to the true ideology that was Australia was built on.
In 19, Prime Minister Curtin said, "This country shall remain forever the home of people from the British race." That's what he said.
Yes.
So that was the start of the White Australia policy. Well, and then Harold...
No, it was even older than that. The White Australia policy used to be called the Immigration Restriction Act of 1901. And the founding fathers, like Deakin...
It was a dictation test. If you couldn't spell or couldn't write English...
They did that cheekily. What they would do when a non-white person... This is a fact. What they would do when a non-white person would enter Australia is they would give them the dictation test in German or Spanish or some European language that they obviously couldn't speak. So, but the Immigration Restriction Act did very clearly state that they only want people of Aryan descent.
Yes.
Which back then meant European.
One of your must-read books, I presume, is Mein Kampf, is it?
It's important political science, yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you read Mein Kampf, have you, Blair?
Yeah, I read it first when I was about... I didn't begin to understand it until I was about probably 20, 21 years old. But
I've not read it. What's it about? Hitler just telling us... What you're telling us.
Well, it was written by Hitler in Landsberg prison in 1923. Mm-hmm. And so it was some time before he came to power, but it provides interesting insight into the guy's psychology and the kind of man that he was and his vision for the future of Germany. And it's one of those books I was surprised it even existed at all, because when I was in high school, I heard about nothing but gas chambers and evil Nazis. But apparently my history teacher forgot to tell me that the man behind it all wrote his own book. So when I saw it on the shelf in a random bookshop in North Fitzroy, somewhat trendy bookshop.
So
I thought I've got to give that a go.
Have you two lads, gentlemen, people, been radicalised when did you start having this philosophy about the country we live in? I don't know how old you are.
I don't think loving your country makes you radical. I think certain people who don't want others to listen to us, who don't want our point to get across to a larger audience, would write us off as radical extremist or quote-unquote Nazi. But at the end of the day, I think what we stand for in terms of tradition, family, common sense, most people would agree on. It's just that perspective of the Second World War and the war propaganda, the surviving war propaganda, that people would be contentious with.
So you, for want of a better word, get away with this on the basis of free speech is what you should be allowed to have, and you said you this was nothing more than political persecution of you for having these views by people who don't agree with you. Did you not?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
I did say that in court, yes.
You did say that in court. So you think that, not to put too strong a word on it, but people would think that this is hate speech, and you say, no, this is my my privilege to have free speech and to allow to express myself, and you're being politically persecuted for having these views, and this is not right. And you're going to test it before the courts.
What is hate speech other than speech that people in power don't like?
Yeah, I contest the notion that there's even such a thing as hate speech. I hate the people burn down Australia. I think that's hate speech.
So you think it's not? Now, I have no skin in the game here. I've said this many times. Do you think it's not hate speech for Palestinians to walk around the community here and lock down the streets in here shouting abuse and vile statements at people of the Jewish nation, or if there is a nation, from Israel or from whatever you... slagging Jews. Do you think that's hate speech and that should be allowed?
I'd go further and say it's completely irrelevant to Australia. What are these people doing here in the first place?
I want both of them deported.
If they love Palestine so much, go and fight for Palestine. What are they doing marching through Melbourne?
No, that's a different argument. That's a different... I take that on advisement. Okay, I'm just saying, do you think that's not hate speech? You think the Palestinians or the Jews who slag them backwards and forwards, at some stage you can't say things about people... we have a completely disjointed and dysfunctional society if you allow people to say absolutely anything they like about people in the name of free speech.
I'll say this. Free speech should only be the right of people that are of the folk. If you're in good faith... Of the folk, of the nation, of the people.
Of the folk. Yes,
of the people.
That's right.
I don't believe that Palestinians should have free speech because I don't think they should be in the country.
But that's a different argument.
No, it's not a different argument because we have to define a left and right of what is free and what is not free. And I don't believe that the left and right of arc of what's free speech and what's hate speech should be whether the government agrees with it or not, or whether some purple-haired freak in the diversity departments of the government like my opinions or not. They shouldn't decide what's free and what's not free. What should be decided is this person of the nation, and does this person have love for the nation? And if they don't, if they want to destroy Australia, then they shouldn't have the right to speak. We shouldn't let them in the country.
So the governments of responsibility would say if you allow hate speech to proliferate, then you just opens the gates to physical violence because it fizzes people up to the fact that they feel inadequate verbally, so they just go the old physical stuff, and that's what...
The government uses physical violence against me because they don't like my political views. The government uses physical violence against me.
Because they manhandled you? How did they...
Absolutely. We have been harassed. We have been intimidated.
I saw a security guard asked you to leave the premises of somewhere...
Yes, before throat-punching my colleague, yes.
Yes, and you
yes.
So would you call...
Yes,
you
so said, we're changing topics
so
here.
You
the subject
said
was
to
about
him,
free speech. So my answer about free speech is that we as Australians should have the right to freely criticise the Australian government for its treasonous decision to ethnically replace the host population.
The man who asked you to leave was of some African origin, he was black. And you said to him... You said, dance, monkey, dance.
I didn't. My colleague did.
So your colleague said, dance, monkey, dance.
He started dancing. So we had left the building.
So do you think that's hate
I'll
speech?
Tell you the full story.
Yes, thank you.
We left the building. He asked us to leave.
Yes.
Right? After Channel 9 called us terrorists that night on television.
No, I know.
We haven't committed any terrorism.
Yes.
And they smeared us and slandered us. Mm. And no legal department wants to take us up on the offer. Mm. So I went down there to make a speech. To make a point of it.
Yes.
And we got asked by security to leave. So we left. When we were outside the front of the building, I started making my speech again.
Yes.
And we were asked not to make the speech out the front of the building, but to walk all the way to what was called the Drano line.
Yep.
Right? And I asked nicely, where is the Drano line? And he started walking us towards the Drano line. As we're walking to the Drano line, he began dancing like a monkey. Like this.
Yes.
Right? Mocking us. Mm-hmm. Mocking us. Ha-ha, you dumb white racist... I can use physical force to remove you from this building. There's nothing you can do about it. And then, while he was dancing like a monkey, my colleague said to him, from the Tones and I song, all right, dance for me, monkey. Mm. That Tones and I song, because that was popular in the media at the time. And when he said that, this African who could not control his own behavior throat punched my colleague. And when he throat punched my colleague, I have a love for my colleagues and for my folk, and I'm prepared to use force to protect them from violent thugs that do that. And so I dropped him. Yes, I hit him. Wayne Carey style. I smashed him. Absolutely. I absolutely smashed him. And I didn't stop smashing him until he stopped. And when he was on the ground and he stopped, I left him alone. But then he wasn't satisfied with that. He got up off the ground and tried to go again. So he got a good jab, and then he went inside. He learned his lesson. Now, I had to do 150 hours of knitting as my punishment for dropping that African. But I did not...
What was that knitting community service?
I had to do knitting. I had to do 150 hours of knitting.
Pretty wholesome community service.
So that's the full story.
This almost proves my reinforces my point that if it was considered hate speech, then it turned to violence. And the more we engage
Who turned it to violence? Who used violence first?
I'm just saying. It is provocative to call a black person a monkey.
Why?
Because
have you done it? Did you receive violence when you called a black person a monkey?
Well, I didn't.
Did you receive violence?
I have never called a black person a monkey.
I believe that you have.
Have I?
You suggested that George Floyd was a scoundrel and you had to, you know.
I didn't.
But even when you're on the footy show.
Called someone as a black person as a monkey?
Not a black person. You called an Asian person a monkey. It was a Malaysian.
Yes, I did.
Yes, a Malaysian person. I did. A dark person. You did.
I did. It was an Asian person and a dark person?
Yes, it was a dark Malaysian. Yes.
I did. I got reprimanded severely for that. Yes,
but did you deserve violence for it? Did you deserve to be attacked by someone that lost their temper? Or was there some civil process that you could go through for saying
You've done well. I'm very glad you got me on that because I did say...
Because they use violence against us.
This Asian man married this... And I said, hang on. You threw me there. It's good. I'm glad you threw me. I was going to say to you... About the black fucking monkey. What was that? George Floyd. Now, I never said George Floyd. That is the greatest bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
I agree.
George Floyd was a... I got cancelled off the footy show for this.
I know.
Because I said on this forum that George Floyd should not have died how he did, but he was a piece of shit.
Yes.
He had a string of... And
he robbed a pregnant woman at gunpoint.
And they burnt America down... for 2 years, and the government let it go in the name of Black Lives Matter, which is a domestic terror organization. Some of the suburbs here out in Coburg, that they have Black Lives Matter walk and alleyways, and they have a sign up. It was the greatest bullshit I've ever heard. So George Floyd was a piece of shit, but he shouldn't have died probably how he did.
Well, you rightly pointed out that what began as a legitimate form of protest against police brutality morphed into something else, which ended up being about racism and just an excuse to bash on white people.
That's right, and just a corrupt and dysfunctional organisation called Black Lives Matter, which is...
It was promoted by the mainstream media.
Isn't it? Yes,
it was. Sanctioned.
All right.
The police took a knee for them, but the police attack us.
Right.
So the police take a knee for communists, black communists, but then they beat up white men.
Well, it's good. We started
for waving Australian
this
flags.
This particular conversation...
Which shows you the state of affairs.
What's that, Blair?
This particular conversation, this point of the conversation, we started at about hate speech, didn't we? And
I don't know where we started. I tell you what I'm asking, just almost finally, unless you'd like to make another 3-minute announcement, I'll give you a final word. You can just go for your life and I'll sit here. Are we affiliated? Are we? I haven't quite joined the party yet. What did we go through? What I have to do? I'm not homosexual. I'm white. What else do I have to do? Give you $50 a month?
You don't have to give me.
$50. No. What
it's
else?
Appreciated. If
what else do you go through?
You have basic fitness standards too, don't you?
There's layers of membership. So
it's an age limit.
No, there's not.
I'm 80. Can I get in?
Absolutely.
Oh, should I? How many members have we got? Did we ask?
As I said, of activists, so our
how many people are a member of the National Socialists?
Thousands. We have thousands of supporters.
Are they?
Yes.
Wow.
But how many activists do we have? The guys that train with us and the guys that march with us? About 250.
And the idea of training and marching with you is to overthrow someone one day, is it?
Not necessarily to overthrow, but to show a triumph of the will. I think that masculinity is under attack.
To have a team too.
You're not part of it. You're just in here as a
guest. I'm very much part of it.
Oh, you are? You see, you tried to dissociate yourself.
I'm not a direct member, but I work with the community.
Beautiful.
And I'm good at it.
Now, are we affiliated with like-minded Nazi, neo-Nazis in overseas?
Yes.
Are you? Yes. Do you have Skype meetings? Do you go over and join their celebrations or marches? Yes. Do they come here?
Not many have come here.
They wouldn't get in.
Australia's a hard place to get into, unless you're brown. But yeah, it's we're a global movement. We're a global movement of nationalists that want each of us, because there's no homeland for white people anywhere. Australia's not an isolated incident. This is happening in England, in Germany, in France, in America. Every white country is losing their homeland. And so white people all around the world are realizing we're the only ones that are having diversity thrusted upon us. Every other group gets their homeland, plus they get to come here. So we're getting colonized. We're getting reverse colonized through subversion.
Want to overthrow society with a white revolution.
That's... Well, look, we need a spiritual revolution.
You seem to be disagreeing with that, because that was one of your quotes, not yours. That was one of his quotes.
I think it's a step-by-step process. And, like, if we can remove the illegal immigrants first, that's a
good start. You
wanted
to buy a plot of land out in the country and settle it with white people.
Absolutely. I want to have a home.
Rather us be in control of our own country. If that's not possible, then maybe we have to look at separating.
Righto, now look.
Yeah, I think there's two primary methods of how we go about this, and neither of them are this kind of fantasy that you're alluding to, that we're just going to become armed one day and just start randomly killing people. I don't think that's in our interest. Mike.
I'll say that again. For God's sake, speaking, I hate to miss any of this, mate. Yes. Or it's a bit pointless as doing
I think
it.
That, okay, I'll say it again quickly. I think there's two possibilities. One, we take state power through the methods that are available to us within the democracy. The other, if we're unable to do that, is to separate, is to build
the
a
only
white...
way we take you take state power is to put yourself up for pre-selection at local council, state government and federal government, and see how you go.
Well, over the next 5 years, you might see that.
No, you might. Yeah. Well, now look.
But I want to build a foundation first before we run anyone as a political
candidate.
You
seem to be not happy with the way this started. Blair, how should I end it? What should I say? How should we end this?
I think it's...
Should I thank you very much for both coming in? I'm not sure that I agree with anything you say, but you might be surprised that I agree with a lot of it. That will be in the eye of the beholder or the ear of the listener. But I don't know why. I do know why now you are intent on being antisocial and being so disruptive amongst the mainstream. But you've pointed out the mainstream are biased in certain way they report things. And I think this has been a worthwhile chat to both of you. I can assure you that none of this will be edited, and this will go on our podcast, and you people can watch. You and me having a chat about something. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
You're a good sport for having us on, Sam. I really didn't expect to be sitting here with you, so it's a great opportunity. But I think I'd just like to wrap it up by reiterating the point I made about Aussies playing as a team. It was the original team, the original Australians that built this country. And we need to start thinking more collectively again, because everyone else is doing that. Until we get our team back and we start playing as a team, we're not going to have much of a future. And we need to send back the illegals, people who shouldn't be here, people who are exploiting Australia. They need to go home. And we need representation for white Aussies.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's all we're
looking
enough,
for. That's enough, Blair, please. Thank you.
Why is that enough?
Because you are now...
Am I making too much sense?
Yeah. No. This is now becoming a political speech. No, that's good. Thomas, what do you want to say? Anything else?
I appreciate you giving us a...
Yeah, chance. Good on you. No, hey, Blair and Thomas, thank you for coming in. And being part of You Cannot Be Serious, I'll probably get the biggest kick. You never know. I mightn't get a kicking. People might find this actually reasonably interesting, no matter what they think about what you've been doing. So thank you very much.
Good on you, Sam.
Appreciate it.
We love our country.